Hey guys, this is Robert Rochelle with D3VBWest.com. And since the West region, which I mainly focus on with the website, is off for the next couple of days, I thought maybe I would take a look at something more on the national scene and come up with another podcast. So what I wanted to do was reflect on the preseason and the week one ABCA polls. And because I think there's a story here, and I kind of looked into it, and I kind of want to tell it. So prior to this week, there have been 27 teams ranked in the top 25, the ABCA top 25, when you consider that both Carthage and Pacific Lutheran came in week one and replaced preseason teams Aurora and Bowdoin. So that gives us 27 total teams. And of those 27 total teams, only four of them are still undefeated. So of the 27 teams the ABCA thought were the best teams in the nation, we only have Babson, Calvin, Emory, and Wesleyan still undefeated. Now, this week, the ABCA added four new teams, with three of them being undefeated. So we now have a top 25 that contains seven teams with unblemished records. But still, I mean, that's kind of interesting, at least to me, that so many teams have dropped matches so early on. And like I think I've said in other podcasts or in articles, in the preseason top 25 and the week one top 25, we had 15 teams each week lose at least one match. So again, kind of interesting. Now going back to those 27 teams, we find that only 15 have wins over other top 25 teams. So that means, obviously, 12 teams do not, and five of those teams have yet to even play a top 25 team. And those five teams are Babson, Chicago, CMS, Colorado College, and Wesleyan. So two of our undefeateds, Babson and Wesleyan, really haven't played anyone, but are still ranked. And then we've got Chicago, who's played some pretty good teams, but none of them have been ranked. CMS hasn't played anybody ranked. Colorado College hasn't played anyone ranked. Now, that's going to change in the case of CMS this week. They've got a big tournament, the East to West battle. But Colorado College, although we'll be playing some really good teams this week, still will not have played anyone ranked unless something happens to change. You know, basically what this shows me is how good Emory and Calvin have really been the first 2 weeks into the season. They're playing strong schedules, they're playing top 25 teams, and they're winning. Now, with those 27 teams again, another thing I found interesting is that only nine of them have avoided a loss to an unranked team. Now, that number is increasing to 15 when we factor in the new top 25 teams, because a number of the teams that had lost to unranked teams, now those teams are ranked, like Augsburg, for instance, and St. Thomas, for instance, Carnegie Mellon. So when we factor that all in, we can see that the new ABCA coaches poll kind of revamped and made it better, which, of course, is kind of their task. I mean, that's what their job is to put the best teams in the top 25. Now, if I step back and I look at all of the teams in D3, by my count, we still have around 36 undefeated teams that are left after 2 weeks. I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's what the number comes out to be. Now, most of those schools, most of those teams, they just haven't played anyone of note. So it should all take care of itself as we go down the road. But that's where we are. We've got over 400 schools, and we've got 36 left that are undefeated. So, you know, I started to wonder, if there's a large gap between Emory and Calvin and the rest of the top 25. We know that Barry played Emory to five sets this past weekend, so maybe they're pretty close. But what about the rest of the teams? Now, outside of that tournament I mentioned, the East to West battle, which includes ranked teams Emory, CMS, Juniata, Trinity, along with Cal Lutheran and Washington St. Louis, we may not be getting any answers this week. There's just not a lot of cases where there's really good tournaments playing against the top teams. And with conference play coming up, you know, for most everyone, you know, the top 25 is going to start remaining more static week to week, because there's just not a lot of great teams in all of these individual conferences. So, you know, what I worry about, I guess, is is we've got teams that really haven't played anyone that are going to go into conference and basically go hide. They're going to play their conference matches. Come November, they're going to pop their heads out and they're going to say, hey, look at me, look what I've done, which statistically is probably pretty good, but in reality, we really don't know. Now, there are some teams that intrigue me that aren't currently ranked based on what they've done so far. They include the University of Wisconsin at Stevens Point. They've got a win over Chicago. I've got them ranked pretty high. I probably have them ranked too high, but they haven't been on the ABCA poll yet. UT Dallas, they've got wins over ranked teams Pacific Lutheran and Trinity. DePaul has a win over Hope, and they've got quality losses, at least in my mind, to Stevens Point, Chicago, and Calvin. And they also have a win over UT Dallas. So, I mean, these are three teams that I think are really under consideration for a top 25 ranking. You've got, of course, Transylvania. They've got wins over ranked teams Mary Hardin, Baylor, and Wittenberg. Their two losses are to ranked teams Calvin and Ohio Northern. So I've actually got Transy ranked in my poll. I think they probably should have been ranked by the ABCA based on their resume. But that's a fourth team that I think has shown us so far is pretty good and probably deserves to be in the consideration for being ranked by the ABCA. I guess another team that I might throw in there is Bethel. They beat Stevens Point, so probably they should be considered as well. Maybe a step below the other ones, but again, if you're gonna consider Point, then you probably have to consider them. So those are based on 2 weeks of results, those are probably the teams that the ABCA should be looking at more closely if they've got a team that they want to drop. You know, I look down the list of undefeated teams, and I hope they have enough on their schedule to prove themselves. There are teams like Birmingham Southern, John Hopkins, Otterbein, Muskingum, St. Olaf, and Heidelberg. All of those teams are undefeated. But then I see a lot of New England teams, and I kind of get worried about New England teams. Teams like Amherst, Tufts, Middlebury are all there. But you know, let me kind of go through it a little bit and tell you why I'm a little worried. If you look at these teams that I just mentioned that are not in New England, they all seem to have tests, good teams that they're going to play, good opposition ahead of them. I don't want to bore you, but like Birmingham Southern's got, like just this week, they've got Colorado College, they got Transylvania. They're going to have Barry twice, Hendricks twice. They're going to have Emory. They're going to have Wittenberg. So we're going to know what Birmingham Southern is. John Hopkins, they've got Clarkson, they've got Ithaca, they've got Juniata, they've got Franklin and Marshall. It's not a top-end schedule, but you're going to know what their mid-Atlantic credentials are, if not their top 25 credentials. Otterbein has got Wittenberg, they've got Carnegie Mellon, Transylvania, Heidelberg, Muskingum, Ohio Northern. Muskingum's got Hope, Carnegie Mellon, DePaul, Ohio Northern, Transylvania, Wittenberg, Heidelberg. St. Olaf still has Stevens Point, St. Thomas, Augsburg, St. Benedict. They've got Bethel. Heidelberg has got Barry, Whitewater, Wittenberg, Clarkson. I go on and on. So when you look at these non-New England teams, they're all kind of, they're playing each other. We're going to find out who's good, who's not. And by the end of the year, we're going to have a really good handle on their resume. Now, when I went to go look at the New England schools to see what's ahead of them, what I noticed was, I mean, it's a little strange, at least to me, if you look at schools like Endicott and Johnson and Wales, Rhode Island, you look at Wesleyan, these are three schools that are attempting to test themselves by playing teams and good teams outside of the region. Now, when you look at the rest, I just don't see it. I see teams that are primarily staying in the New England region, and then maybe you've got a New York team that pops in, but that's basically it. So what I know is that by the end of the year, we're going to have a lot of New England teams that have really outstanding selection criteria. Basically just because, well, first of all, they're good teams. Don't get me wrong, but it's set up really nicely in these larger regions where you can pick and choose the teams that you play and find teams that are winning conferences that may not be spectacular, but you're able to build up your records and build up your SOS numbers. And since you can rank the most teams in the nation, you now are beating teams that are ranked lowly in your region that wouldn't even have a chance to be ranked by any other region, and you're picking up ranked wins. So when I look at it, though, I want to look at the quality of the schedule, the quality of your oppositions. And so when I look at the Amherst, the Terfs, the Middleburys, the Springfields, the Bowdens, the Babsons, even though they're ranked, how do I know? How do I know what the quality was that you played? And a large part of this is going to be Endicott, Johnson & Wales, and Wesleyan. They're going to be the benchmarks. So stepping back for a second, we're going to know pretty clearly the ranking in the New England region because they're going to play a lot this year. It's all intermixed, and a lot of the teams that we expect to be regionally ranked high, they're going to be playing each other, and that's great. It really is great. But then when NCAA selection comes around and you have to compare a Babson or you have to compare a Springfield and you have to compare them against an Otterbein, who wins? Who comes out ahead? History tells us it'll be the New England teams because, again, their numbers are going to reflect better. But, you know, as I spewed off these schedules and the quality of the teams, it's not even close in my mind. Otterbein in this case is playing better teams. And so they may not have as good numbers as some of these New England teams at the end of the year. But to me, they're more worthy because they attempted to play the teams that are better and beat teams that are going to the NCAA tournament. Now, of course, Otterbein may lose the rest of their games this year, but that's just an example. So coming back to New England, how do we judge New England because of how it looks like it's all set up? You know, Endicott has played Barry. They lost in three. They were pretty much handled. They lost in four to Mary Hardin Baylor, but they beat Christopher Newport. Now, we really don't know about Christopher Newport. I thought they were going to be pretty good at the beginning of the year. They beat Juniata in five sets, and now they basically have lost every match since then. It's going to be interesting because Christopher Newport is really tied into the New England region. If Christopher Newport goes out, wins the rest of their matches, gets a high regionally ranking at the end of the year, then the New England region is going to benefit from that because everyone's going to end up playing Endicott and we're going to have some sort of indication of the Mid-Atlantic and now New England. You know, Johnson and Wales, they've played Emory so far. They really haven't played too much else. They lost to Emory. That's not a huge surprise. They lost in four sets. Two of those sets weren't even really close, but we really don't, doesn't really give us enough. They still have Juniata and Ithaca on the schedule, and those are going to be huge matches, to compare New England with. If Juniata or Ithaca are able to beat Johnson and Wales, and those would be considered upsets at this point, then maybe that's an indication. And Johnson and Wales goes out and beats a bunch of New England teams, then maybe that's telling us New England isn't as strong. Wesleyan is going to Susquehanna in a Mid-Atlantic tournament, teams they should beat, but they also have Juniata and Ithaca. So what it really comes down to is, from a New England standpoint, you've got Christopher Newport, you've got Juniata, and you've got Ithaca. And those three teams are really going to tell us, rightly or wrongly, where New England stands. Now, whether or not the NCAA committee looks at that, you know, I don't know. But right now, when I try to get a handle of what New England is, those are the matches that are really going to tell me. So I started this podcast with trying to review the ABCA polls and kind of show some of the little bizarre numbers that are out there, the all the losses that we've already accumulated, the lack of undefeated teams that are out there, who which of these top 25s are playing people and who aren't. And I kind of then have segued into, I don't want to say bashing on New England, but kind of looking more closely at the New England schedules because they're a little different than we're seeing in other regions, and kind of segued into how the selection committee is going to have to handle some of these teams, or should I say, they're going to do their own darn thing, whatever, regardless of what I say. But But again, that's fine. I find it interesting. I always find how New England schedules interesting because they really are playing with house money the way the regions are set up and the way the regional rankings are set up and how that feeds into the selection committee. And I really do admire the teams that go out and play outside of region so that we can get more data points and so we know how good or how bad New England is. Because they do have a lot of good schools, but unfortunately they don't do it the way that I would do it. I want to test myself. I want to go out and play the best teams if I think I've got a shot at the NCAA tournament. I don't want to be a team that gets a free pass into the Elite Eight and then loses. I don't see what the point of that is. And I think you're seeing that with Johnson and Wales. I think their schedules, they've been a really good team in the New England region, but then when they step out, they get beat. And I think they're trying to test themselves more and try to win that Elite Eight match. And you have to remember, New England has not won an Elite Eight match since, I think, 2001. So that's nearly two decades of getting essentially a free pass into the Elite Eight and then not doing anything with it. And then we saw last year they got essentially two free passes into the Elite Eight when the West region didn't happen. So, I applaud the Endicotts, I applaud Johnson & Wales, I applaud Wesleyan. I'm confused by Babson. I'm confused by Bowden. I'm confused by a number of these other teams. But when it comes down to it, it's going to come down to, in my mind, how do some of these teams that do challenge themselves, how are they going to come out against Juniata and Ithaca? It's really, that's what it comes down to. And it's going to be interesting. If those teams aren't playing very well when they go play those New England teams, it's not going to reflect well on them, but it's going to reflect really well on New England. Or if they play those teams, those New England teams really, really hard and end up beating them, then in my mind, it's not going to reflect very well on New England. And I don't know if that's fair or not, but those are the data points that New England's given me. So, it'll be interesting. We'll take a look at those down the road when they actually happen in future podcasts. So forgive me for kind of segueing all over the place, but that's kind of what I do, and even when I write. So if you haven't visited the website, please come take a look. It's d3vbwest.com, and I'll keep spitting out the podcasts, and hopefully you'll be listening. Thanks, guys.